In this season of Love Your Life, we focus on the Quran with the ultimate goal of creating a strong bond with the Holy Book for us to reflect and connect one ayah at a time. I am Maya Al-Saeed, and welcome to Love Your Life.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, Most Gracious, Most Merciful, we ask Allah to send His peace and blessings upon our Prophet, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Peace be upon him and his companions. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlal 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to my amazing listeners of Oman FM. How are you guys doing? I hope you are well. Really excited for today's episode because it is somewhat different. And if you're wondering who you're listening to, well, this is Maya Al-Saeed and this is your show, Love Your Life, connecting, inshallah, your heart one ayah at a time. A show where we talk about the Quran and share stories with inspirational guests. What I think they're inspirational and motivational. As I get to know with you their story on how they connect to the Quran. And today we have a special guest, but there's a but today. We are going to have an international guest, inshallah, and I believe this is the first on Love Your Life, calling us, inshallah, all the way from Brunei. And at this point in time, at this moment right now, she is, inshallah, breaking her fast. So we're going to give her some time, about 15 minutes. So you just have me and you. If you want to join, you're more than welcome to do so. If you just want to speak to me, tell me how amazing you think this show is, how life-changing it is, well, you can do so by calling 24-602-058, 24-602-058. But on a more serious note, I'm absolutely, I really mean it by saying you can call me if you really want to just share your feedback of the show and how you're enjoying it or what we can improve on. We have 15 minutes to do that, and I'd really love to hear from you. But as well, I thought I'll take this opportunity since this is a Quran kind of show, and I thought it'd be helpful for anyone out there who's looking for to purchase, for example, a good Quran. There are many translations, and today I wanted to talk about the four that I personally recommend and why. So let's begin with, I wish you could see me, but you can't. So I'll have to describe this to you. So the first one that I recommend is also one that Mufti Menk recommends. And this is the Quran Sahih International. So this one is blue usually in cover. This is the one that I've seen. It's quite not very, it's a normal size, like an A5 size. So this one has the actual Arabic scripture of the ayat and everything. And on the side is the translation of each ayah. Okay. And this, I think, is what I love about this one personally. It hasn't got any of those Shakespearean, you know, language, and you find it very difficult to understand. It's very, very clear. I can take just an ayah for you to see. For example, we have an ayah. And this is Surah An-Nisa, verse 13. It says, "These are the limits set by Allah, and whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger will be admitted to Him, to gardens in paradise under which river flows, abiding eternal therein, and that is the great attainment." So you see, very, you know, you can really understand it. This is the one that I recommend if any of you have joined my Quran journaling, or if you're planning to join in the future. I recommend to get this. And where you can get this in Oman, there are two places. One is called the Violet Bookshop. And this is in no way sponsored. I'm just sharing information so you can easily get to it. So this is in Violet Bookshop, I believe is in Boshar. And then you have Masqat Bookshop, which I believe is in Al Hail somewhere. But if you want more information, I have shared these the information on this Quran on my Instagram at Maya @MAYYA.Al-Saeed, in which you'll find the link as well under each episode, I think, which, by the way, gets uploaded on podcast platforms, if you didn't know. Also, if you call and speak to me or my guests or whatever, you just participate in the show, I am giving away a free copy of the next Quran that I'm going to talk about. It's called Al-Quran Al-Karim, also known as the Noble Quran. So this one, very similar to the one I just talked about, Sahih International, but this one has word-by-word translation, and in addition to that, it's color-coded tajweed. This is a publication by Karaya Bastari, which I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, is a Singaporean publication. The last time I think I retained that information. That's what I understood. So if I were to read, actually very interesting, if I were to read the same ayah, excuse me if you hear me turning pages, just to give you a comparison of the translation, I think it makes more sense if I pick the same ayah. So it was, I believe, ayah 13. Bismillah. Okay, I'm 22. Okay, ayah 13. So very similar. So these are the limits set by Allah, or ordainments as regards law of inheritance. This was in between parentheses. And whoever obeys Allah and his messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will be admitted to gardens under which rivers flow in paradise to abide therein, and that will be the great success. So you see, very similar translation. So this also you will find on the side. Again, Arabic scripture with the verses of the Quran. But here, under each word, for example, if we go again using that same verse, verse 13, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, تلك حدود الله. Under the word تلك, تلك is an Arabic word, which means, so there's the translation for that. It says that. Hudud, which is again an Arabic word, underneath that they provide the translation on that word, the limits set by Allah. So, and Allah is Allah, one of his name. So this is the main difference between the two, that this one has the word by word. So when you're reading the ayah in Arabic, you're actually right underneath it in very small font is the English version, or English translation, not version. And in addition as well to that, these have tajweed rulings in color codes. So if there's a noon or whatever, and there's a tajweed ruling, there'll be a color on that. Okay? So these are the two so far. And then I have two more, which are the same but different. Yeah? Hang on. Let me explain. So this one is Al-Quran Al-Mubin. And in English, it says the Clear Quran. This is by Dr. Mustafa Khattab. And it's by Al-Furqan Foundation. And that's all it says. This is one of the Qurans that really got, I don't want to say famous, but popular. After October 7th, when everyone wanted to pick up the to read the Quran after seeing the faith of the Palestinians, mashallah. So this was the copy that went viral. Everybody was reading this Quran, and so many even embraced Islam after reading this Quran. So I have two versions of this Quran. And I think before I get... Okay, I forgot to tell you where you can get Al-Quran Al-Karim. So we'll go... I'll go back to that later. Let me just finish this. So this one, there are two types. These are the ones I have... Probably there are more, and I don't know if they have more languages. I should have checked that. I'll get back to you on that, inshallah. But the ones that I have are, so there are two versions. One is the Clear Quran with Arabic text. So again, similar to the Qurans I just told you about earlier. And then there's one that just has English. So in this one, what I liked is, again, very simple English. I think even more simpler than the ones I just read. Again, we'll take the same verse, inshallah. So again, just for you to get a comparison. And if you hear me turning pages, it's because I'm looking for the ayah. As you can see, Maya sometimes likes to prepare and sometimes just likes to go with it, because that's life. I think we need to be more spontaneous in our lives instead of trying to plan everything. And even when you plan everything, nothing ever goes according to plan. Okay, so... that's in this verse again, reminding you, this is verse 13 in Surah An-Nisa, compliance with inheritance law. So there's like a subtitle before the ayah. So it's like it tells you what the ayah is about, just that ayah. I wish you could see it because it's really interesting. So again, the translation is, these entitlements are the limits set by Allah. Whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger will be admitted into gardens under which rivers flow, to stay there forever. That is the ultimate triumph. So you see how it was a bit more descriptive, but very, very easy to understand. So I think I retract. I think this Quran, Al-Quran Al-Mubin, the clear Quran, is even more easy to understand, especially for those who really want to understand the Quran. In addition to that, so I loved the intro part. If I can just take a moment of your time. Okay. All right. So let me just quickly finish this up because I started saying it. So it tells you the surahs by themes and the stories, and it gives you a real understanding of the book you're about to read. And it answers as well questions about Islam. Was the Quran, for example, copied from the Bible? Just some questions. Why do Muslims call God Allah? What is the Quran? So all of this kind of like common questions that one would ask about Islam. And then, so it gives you an idea, and then you dive into the ayahs. And there are two versions of that. So this one is the Quran Mubin with Arabic text. And there's another one. If you don't want the Arabic text, you just want to read the English. So it's the English only series. Just one more thing. These ones are available at a store called Baraka on Instagram. And so is Al-Quran Al-Karim, the Noble Quran, which I told you about. And I believe our guest is ready. So one thing I would like to say, that this is the first time we're having a guest on a live show. Well, my show, of all the way from Brunei. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sister Hanisa.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Maya?
I'm fine. I'm raising my hands because I'm so happy. Alhamdulillah. Thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for...
Alhamdulillah.
This is working and I can hear you clearly. How are you feeling?
Alhamdulillah. I'm good. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. It was a fast iftar today, wasn't it, for you?
It was. I was just like chucking everything inside my mouth and made my prayer, and then I'm here. Alhamdulillah.
May Allah accept it from you, inshallah, and reward you.
Ameen, ya Rab, ameen.
So for those who don't know Hanisa and I have a small story. I mean, I don't know if it's a story, but it's how we met. And it's so funny because you were in Oman, Hanisa, for how many years?
Five. I was there for 5 years.
5 years. And we got to connect, I think, on the last year.
It was during COVID.
Yeah. So we really didn't get to meet, but we met, I think, briefly once or twice. And then you were gone for good. You went back home to Brunei.
Mm. Yeah.
And the whole time you were here during those 5 years, we never connected.
Mm.
But why did we connect?
This was really interesting. I came across your YouTube videos, and at that time, it was addressing divorce. And I thought this was really fascinating because it's very rare I would come across a Muslim woman, an Arab Muslim woman, talking about divorce so openly. And I thought this was like, oh, this is something different, something new. And I was hooked on after that, and I watched videos after videos. And I found you on Instagram and followed you, and I stalked you after that. After that, the rest is history. That's what they say.
That's so your story.
I had a girl crush on you because of your videos.
Thank you.
I was like, this girl, this lady is so eloquent. She's so, she's so calm. She knows how to talk and use her voice, and I was really amazed. I think I was just amazed the fact that an Arab woman spoke so openly about divorce, and it's something that in any culture, any Muslim culture, is such a taboo. And
yeah, very
I
true.
Thought that was like, yeah, this is like, I'm gonna make her my best friend, this sort of
yeah. And one of the reasons I followed you was because I loved how you as a Muslim were trying to raise, I believe you have two boys. Shout out to them. What are their names?
Ayman and Tariq.
So what I loved about you is that you were trying to raise your boys Islamically, you know, how do I say this? In an Islamic way, which is very rare. Mm. Again, yes, we are all Muslims, but we're all raising our children differently. But what I loved your approach is your foundation, your base was Islam.
SubhanAllah.
And then, I'm just, you know, in order for us, before we get into your journey with the Quran, I think it's nice for the listeners to know our relationship and how we came together and that everything, SubhanAllah, happens for a reason. So my listeners probably know this. I shared, I think, in season one, how I started getting into wanting to know more about the Quran. And it all started, as I said this before, with an intention. And this was in COVID. And I had this intention because I was reading, like many of us do, and not really connecting with the ayahs. And I thought, no, there is something more. I know there is something more. Allah didn't just send this book for us just to read. There has to be something more, but I'm not there yet. I'm not connecting to the ayahs. It's not having an impact on me. And it was about Ramadan, and I saw you had shared something that you were doing this, you were starting a Telegram kind of group about Quran, and it was mainly recitation.
Yes, it was just reciting during Ramadan, and it was during COVID, so it was something to connect to each other despite being far away in distance. You know, we can't see anyone, we can't meet anyone, and it's Ramadan. It's the first Ramadan of a different Ramadan, and we just wanted to maintain our sanity, most of all, most important, but maintain our sanity and try to our best to connect to Ramadan in the most difficult circumstances.
And another thing that I thought, I know, although it was not about reflecting yet, but I thought at least I can be consistent. If, you know, I share, if I join this group together, we'll be consistent, we'll meet up, you know, and all of that. But subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used your Hanisa, because after those sessions, I think, I don't remember if it was before or after, you would give us like, we'd reflect on the eyes and like, interesting. I'm liking this. And I was able to connect because subhanAllah, Allah used you because you would share, I think, I don't know if I told you this, but you would share these clips about Nu'man, not Uman Ali Khan, Umar Suleiman, and you know, the people of the Quran. Remember that?
Yes.
And the way he spoke, and then he was connecting the ayahs. I was understanding finally what Allah is trying to tell us and how we can apply it. And I started really enjoying it. And from there, that's how, I continued on and started these Quran journaling sessions and all of that, all because of this. You make that intention, and then Allah just opens the doors for you to learn more, get closer to Him. And I believed He used you. For may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you, inshallah, for this.
May Allah reward you too for having that intention, because I think, especially, like, I'm a non-native Arab. I don't have any Arabic background, and you're a native Arab. And for people from my background, we always assume that Arabs know the meaning of the Quran word by word, and they would connect, they would be able to connect more with the Quran because they would understand it, it's in the language. And, you know, we always have this assumption. And then also that non-Arabs have Arabs have an assumption for non-Arabs is that just because that we don't speak Arabic, we cannot connect with the Quran. So I think there are like assumptions from both parties. Like, I assume you can understand very well and we're able to connect. And for me, when you mentioned that it was the first time you connected with the Quran, I thought that was like, oh, I mean, we have our own path and no one knows where they will start or how they will start, but when we set the intention, that Allah opens all the doors and Allah opens all the path and just brings people. And I'm sure you experienced this, that once you were opened with your journey, Allah brought people to you in so many ways, in so many paths, and so many, you know, from online, from the people around you. I'm sure that you have experienced that blessings and that barakah from Allah. Just because you say, I want to be a better Muslim by by, you know, by being closer to the Quran, by improving your relationship with the Quran.
Yeah, very true, subhanAllah. So, again, I want people to know who Hanisa is. So, I know this of you, but I will ask you, are you a born Muslim?
I am. Alhamdulillah, I am.
So, how did it start for you? So, okay, I'm assuming then, because you said you're not a native Arab speaker, so you had some challenges learning the Quran and understanding it.
Challenges in learning the Quran, as in to recite, not so. It wasn't challenging because, like, for me, in my country, religious schools is compulsory. So everyone had to attend religious schools. So we have religious schools and then we have the secular schools. So in the religious schools, we were taught in very much detail how to recite the Quran, the tajweed, the ruling and everything. But you know, like when you were that young, you don't think it's important. You just learn for the sake of passing your exams. So that, I was like, okay, I know this. Okay, then khalas. Like once you leave the school, it's like, okay, we're done. And I picked up the Quran again when I was in my early. So after I left the religious school, like I just left the Quran. As in, like I didn't pick it up to recite it and just, you know, moved on with life. And I came back to the Quran in my early 20s after I finished my uni, because that was when I realized that, you know, I really want to get back to improving my relationship with the Quran and improving my relationship with Allah. So I picked it up again in my early 20s. But that was like touch and go. It wasn't set in stone. I was like, I would open it and then close it and open it and close it again. It wasn't consistent. It was when I came to Oman, when I started to live in Oman, and then the expat community, the Malaysian expat community, they had a halaqat. And I attended this halaqat. And then they started with reciting the Quran. And it was recited in such a way. It was so beautiful. Every makharij, every tajwid ruling was emphasized on. I was so mesmerized. I remember I was like, what is this? And I had goosebumps. And I was like, what is this? Why do I feel this way? Why do I feel so mesmerized? It's not that I've never heard the Quran recitation, but I was just so enthralled at that moment by this one lady who recited, and she recited so beautifully, so calmly, and it just penetrated me. I didn't know what she was reciting because I came late, so I just like sat down and quickly just sat down without like opening the Quran. But she I was like, okay, I'm here. Hi. And they're like, okay, we're going to recite the Quran. And she recited and I was so mesmerized. And she's a Malaysian, but she speaks Arabic. So she did her degree and master's in Arabic. And I think she's doing a PhD in Arabic as well. So she recited in such a beautiful way. I was enthralled. And it was the first time I actually felt so different about the Quran. And there's an ayah in the Quran where it says that when the Quran is recited or when Allah's name is recited, you tremble, you feel, you just have shakes all over. And that was that moment I had shakes. And I was like, oh, I really want to learn the Quran as how this lady has learned the Quran and is able to show her love for the Quran through her recitation. And that was it. I made the intention. And it was a very difficult task to do because I didn't know where to start. Like, where do I start? And I was so shy to say it. I was so shy to say it to my halakat sisters. I was like, I wanted to start reading the Quran again, but I don't know, where should I go? What should I do? And I made dua to Allah for Allah to open the doors of ease for me to just start my Quran journey. And subhanAllah, there was one Ramadan where the sister said to me, like, she said to me, Hanisa, I love you for the sake of Allah, but you need to really improve your Quran. It's horrible.
If you wanted a sign, then this is it.
And then I was like, I know it sounds horrible. That's why I need help. And she said, why don't you ask me? And I said, I was just so shy. And she said, okay, look, I'll help you. So that Ramadan, I would go to her house every day. I went to her house every day and she sat with me and we recited Quran and she corrected me and that was it. And I was like, oh, this is what I wanted. But I was being so greedy, because this is what the Quran does to you. The more you have it, the more you want. Yeah, you want more. And I was like, this can't be it. I need more. And I made the intention. I said, Allah, I need more. I need more than this. Open your doors for me to make it easy for me to just approach you through the Quran. And after Ramadan, subhanAllah, there was this one Quran school. It was run by Omanis. And they decided to open a class for non-Arabic speakers. And it was the first time they taught Quran. No, they taught Tajweed in English. And I was like, my name first. Sign me up. I should be first. And it was there. From there, I just started my journey. I relearned Tajweed. I relearned how to recite properly, how to mention the letters with the proper makharij. And after that, I was just like, okay, what's next? I need more.
It's not enough, huh?
No, never enough. Never enough. SubhanAllah. And so here I am. So I started when I was 34, and now I'm in my early 40s. So mm-hmm. SubhanAllah, it's been a long journey, but it's a moment filled with love, with happy tears, with, yeah. And to be given companions who love the Quran as much as you do, like yourself, is such a huge blessing. Such a huge blessing.
What is the blessing is to have you as a friend.
MashaAllah.
You have to. Okay, go ahead.
And you know how we often talk about, you know, in Jannah?
We're going to share that here. Okay, go ahead.
So we always talk about in Jannah, we will be this. In Jannah, we will do this. And it's not, and subhanAllah, it's not everyone that you can talk to say that, you know, in Jannah this, in Jannah that. It's. Because some people, when you talk about that, when you mention in Jannah, I will do this in Jannah, it's like, you know, there's a lot of reservations. But with you,
Inshallah, in Jannah, we will be in the light. You know, what I love, Hanisa, about you is most people, when they are learning something on the journey, they don't want to teach other people, oh, because I don't have, blah, 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 blah. I haven't reached this level. Blah, blah, blah. But when you started learning, I feel as much as you loved learning, you loved teaching. And during these recitations, whatever knowledge you had, whatever knowledge you were learning again, you were teaching us. You made these PowerPoint presentations. You made sure that we have to mention Nuzha as well, who is with us. You made sure, because it started off unfortunately as a big group, and then it went down to three or four people. I can't remember the fourth sister, because unfortunately we never kept in touch. But then it was just you, Hanisa, Nuzha, and I. So you would make that effort. It's just the two of us, yeah. But you put that effort into making sure that we learned what you were learning. And I found that, subhanAllah, so beautiful of you. Even with the little knowledge that you had, you wanted to share. And you continued to share, because we have our Halaqa Fridays, which we have stopped now for some time. But inshallah, we will renew the intention, bi-idhnillah, and start again. Everyone's always asking me, what do you do on Fridays? You're always taking pictures of you reading Al-Kahf. I said, yes, I'm reading with my friend Hanisa and Nusha. Because that's what we do every Friday. And again, you know, it's not every friend that will help you get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the Quran. Because we are friends for dunya. Let's go out, let's spend time together, let's travel. But for Quran, for deen, there are very few that probably you can count on your fingers. And alhamdulillah, I am blessed to say that I have those. And you, alhamdulillah, are one of them. It's not the first. SubhanAllah.
MashaAllah.
Alhamdulillah. Anyway, with this, Hanisa, we will take a short break, inshallah, and we'll be right back with Nilla.
You can call us on 24602058. We would love to hear from you.
Welcome back to Love Your Life on Oman FM. This is Maya Al Saeed. I'm talking to Hanisa Leah Saleh all the way from Brunei. Before the break, we were talking about how you started the journey into Quran, subhanAllah, and
it really, really started when you came to Oman and you joined mm. the Malaysian Muslim community, I believe, and you started the halaqas mm. and it didn't stop. It was, for you, it was just the beginning, because many people don't know about this, about you, but you, mashallah, when it comes to the Quran, once you started it, you just, as you shared a moment ago, that you just wanted more. It was never enough, never enough.
No.
And you continue to inspire me, because not only, I think, I don't want to share because I know you. I don't want to spoil this, so I'll let you share it. But I just want to remind my callers that this is a live show. You're more than welcome to join us by calling 24602058, 24602058. And also, inshallah, if you do call us, you might win a copy of the Noble Quran. So, Hanisa, after you started learning about tajweed rulings, and you started doing these even online halaqas, what happened next?
So let's go back to the Quran school that was in Oman. Uh-huh. I had a teacher, and her name is Miss Malak, and she was the starting point of where I am right now, where I am in my journey. She was one of the teachers who had an ijazah in the Quran, in the recitation of Hafs and Asim.
Do you want to explain?
And I was,
sorry to interrupt you. Do you want to just explain what ijazah is for those who...
I will.
Okay.
So
sorry.
So I was... It's very typical Maya. Yes. No, I'm kidding. No, so I was intrigued. I was like, oh, what is this ijazah? Mm. And she explained that, you know, the ijazah is the way of recitation, you know, a way of recitation which is vetted. So not everyone can get ijazah just because you read the Quran, but you have to recite the Quran in a way that it is vetted by the sheikh who holds the authority to say, yes, this is the way the Quran was recited. And this ijazah goes back to the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited. So this ijazah is one of the ways that you can say I am connected to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam through my Quran recitation. And I was like, oh wow, this is something, I've never heard this before, let me look up on it. And I was just so curious. I asked the questions, how'd you get it, how'd you do it, and what are the options to get this. For most people who have these, who had the ijazah, they actually have to be in certain countries like Syria, Egypt, mostly the Arab countries. Mm-hmm. And they have to sit with the sheikh or sheikhas, and they have to recite to them. And, you know, only then they will get the ijazah. So I wasn't able to do that because I was a non-Arabic speaker. I don't know how can I move to the Arab countries? I was like thinking, if I were to get this ijazah, I have to live in one of these countries. How do I do that? It seems impossible for me to take this ijazah because, number one, I just don't know where to get it. And number two, I just don't speak Arabic. For me to actually go to a sheikh or sheikha and say, you know, I want this ijazah and, you know, teach me, and I have to recite in an Arabic country. So I had the intention, I said, inshallah, one day Allah will open doors for me. Maybe not now, maybe when my kids are older and when they go to university and, you know, they'll be away from me, I don't have to mind them. Maybe then I'll find a sheikha and move to that country and just sit with them and recite the Quran. I was like, you know, it's okay. It's okay. The intention is there. It's okay. And subhanAllah, at that same time, I was enrolled in the Rabata Academy. Uh-huh. So Rabata Academy is an institution run by female scholars for women, for Muslimas who want to learn more about their deen. And they had a Quran program. And at that time, it was still relatively new. So the Quran program started from learning how to recite the tajweed, recite the Quran with tajweed. Learning tajweed rules, and then it went to the khidmah, so meaning that you would recite the whole Quran in front of a teacher, and she would check and just make sure that, you know, you're reciting it properly and you're applying the tajweed rules. And the program stopped there. And I was like, okay. So Rabata doesn't have what I want. Where else can I go? And the doors to the ijazah was very, very narrow. The only option, like I said, was to actually go to an Arab country and stay there and recite to a sheikh or sheha who has the authority to give the ijazah.
Yeah.
And subhanAllah, a few years later, Rabata opened another course, which mentioned that, you know, whoever wants to do the khidmah and whoever has finished the khidmah, you can get the ijazah. But the ijazah is memorizing the Quran. I didn't think twice. I just said ijazah, and I was like, there. I'm like, I'm here. I'm applying. I don't have to move. I can stay at my own home, and I don't have to move. I don't have to learn how to speak Arabic. Just enough for me to, you know, communicate with basic Arabic, and that's fine. So I'm there. I didn't realize.
So
it was memory. So the whole Quran.
So Hanisa, now I remember you telling me where I know that you've enrolled yourself and you've gone through all the levels, Tabarak Rahman, of this Quran program. So I believe you finished the first one and you've done your khitma. Okay.
I did my khitma.
Then
yeah.
Mashallah. Then when you told me that you were memorizing the Quran, I didn't know it was for this ijazah. I just thought you were memorizing it for memorization, and I didn't know it was with Ribato. Yeah, Ribat. MashaAllah. So now please, how many juz have you memorized?
Oh, not much. I wish I had more. I do find that this is where my challenge started. Like, you know, my whole Quran journey from the beginning until that moment I signed up for ijazah, it was smooth. Like, I didn't have any challenges. I didn't face anything, any hardship, any trials. SubhanAllah, Allah make it easy. And I understand now why Allah make it easy, because had Allah put trials and hardship at the beginning of my journey, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be where I am today. I would just like, no, this is not for me. I'm going to back off. But Allah planted that feeling in my heart that I want more, I want more, and I want more. So this is the peak of the more. This is it. This is the Mount Everest of the Quran journey. This is it. And having the intention to want to have the ijazah, and I have to remind myself, why do I want this so much? Why do I want this badly? It's because I want to fulfill the hadith mentioned by Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that the best of you are those who learn the Quran and teach it. And I just want to be the best, because I fall short in so, so many areas. In so many ways, I fall short. But I do believe that in the Quran, it is where I believe I excelled the most, where I fall short with everything else. I give my all to the Quran. And I ask Allah that, you know, He put me on this path and not remove me, because I don't want to be those not mentioned by the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which is the best. And that's the first thing why I wanted this ijazah. And the second thing is, I want to be connected to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I want to have a connection with them that says, you know, like, Ya Rasulullah, I'm connected to you through the Quran. I recite it the way you recite it. Mm-hmm. And this is my testament that I am the servant of Allah Ta'ala, and I am your ummah. So I just want that. I want the Prophet to recognize me as his part of his ummah. And I want Allah to you know, say to me that, I heard your voice. You know, I heard you reciting the Quran. I heard you crying. I heard you saying so many times, I want to give up. I can't do this. I heard you. But here you are. And, you know, and this is where you and I always say, in Jannah, in Jannah. So in Jannah, I will recite the Quran without crying. I will memorize the Quran. Oh, at that time, I'm a hafiza by then, and I don't have to cry. I don't have to cry. Like, why is this ayat not coming into my head? So, subhanAllah.
MashaAllah.
That is, like, it's a challenge. It's a hardship. but I wouldn't have it. I would have this hardship because of the Quran than anything else. I would take this any day over anything else. Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. You made me cry, as always, when you talk about the Quran. But I, you know, we've been friends for so many years, and I knew you had this beautiful connection and intention, but I didn't know it ran that deep. Tabarak Rahman. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for you, bi'idhnillah. May all your challenges be light and you don't see them as challenges. And you know what is why I see you as an inspiration? Because you said it at the beginning. You're not a native Arab speaker, yet you have this niyyah. And not only an intention, and you just, I really would like to have this ijazah, and then that's it. No, you are taking action. You are doing something about it. You are whatever you can do fi khidma. Yani khidma is an Arabic word, as you know, it's called service. In the service of the Quran, in the service of this deen, that's what you are doing. And mashallah, it's something I think we all need. This should be our default, basically. But it's not. And that's what's sad, that it's not. I know everyone has different paths, and Allah yahdi man yasha'u bighayri hisab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who guides us, and, you know, I don't know how to say it, but we need to start with ourselves. And that's what I'm understanding from your story, that you made that intention. And even though you were getting, it was never enough, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted you to be here, because that's where you saw yourself. When you knew, because you were looking for it, because it was never enough. But when you knew, when you heard, when it connected to your heart, and you're like, okay, now this is where I want to be.
Subhanallah. But you know, my journey started with one lady, one Muslima, that I heard reciting the Quran. She wasn't explaining the Quran. She wasn't doing tadabbur. She wasn't doing translation. She wasn't doing tafsir. She was just reciting. And it was a beautiful recitation. But if you hear it, it's like, it's not one of those like melodious, it's not one of those recitations. But it was nice. She hit all the tajwid rulings, the way she mentioned each letter, giving it its sifat. It was just beautiful. It was just so memorable that I was just so mesmerized. And for you, like your Quran journey started because you were inspired by someone. My Quran journey started because I was inspired by someone. Yeah. So everyone's Quran journey, it seems like it started from seeing someone, or, you know, hearing that they are inspired by someone else. And I believe this is where the hadith of the Prophet comes in. The best of you are those who learn the Quran and teach it. So this lady, she was teaching me the Quran through her recitation. It's a chain of events, you know. And why I'm so passionate about sharing with, you know, what I've learned with you, with Nuzha, with our Tilawa group, is because I believe that each and every one of us has the ability, has the potential to inspire people around us. If it's not our friends, it's our children. It's our, you know, the closest to us, our children, our family.
Yeah.
At least we inspire someone. And this is where we like you said, we are doing our khidmah. We are being a servant to Allah by, you know, spreading His deen, spreading the love for Islam through the Quran, by recitation, by, you know, doing tadabbur, by Quran journaling.
Yes.
It changes lives. You know, your Quran journaling, like I've seen the feedbacks, it changes people's life and how they see the Quran, how they interact with the Quran. Like you said earlier during the show, you wanted to have that motivation, that one, you want to be inspired by the Quran, and you got it. And what you did was that inspired other people to be closer to the Quran by your Quran journaling workshops. And I find that really, really, like, subhanAllah, like the journey, because I saw you, how when you started, you saw me when I started, and here we are. You're doing your Quran workshops, You're doing your...
my Quran. This is my show.
Yes. Yeah. So, like, Savannah, like, if you would, we were to look like years before, you wouldn't think, I wouldn't think I'm here. You wouldn't think you were here. But we are here.
And if we think
so
about
why
it,
I,
the whole basis of this is the Quran. Like,
yes,
even though your journey is very different to mine, where you are, you know, mashallah, inshallah, you're going to be a hafilah very soon, bi'idhnillah. Ameen. What's the aim, Hamisa?
Ameen,
I'm just, no pressure, but what's the aim? What's the aim? Inshallah. I'm not going to hold you accountable, but what's the aim? Like, what year? Like, this year, next year, inshallah?
I don't know, ya Allah. I want to finish memorizing the Quran before my mother's final days.
Inshallah.
I just want her to say, I have
hafidha.
I have a daughter who's a hafidha.
Inshallah. Bi'idhnillah ta'ala.
And I can give her that crown.
Yes. Taj al-Waqar.
And the judgment.
Yes. I don't know what's it called in English. I know in Arabic. Taj al-Waqar.
So there's like a crown. Give her that crown.
Yeah. So if you want to explain what you mean, or what Islam says about
that. Can go ahead. You can go ahead and explain it. I'm cheering up here.
So am I. So Taj al-Waqar is what the children who memorize the Quran fully, they on the day of judgment will have the opportunity to give a crown, to put the crown on their parents. Subhanallah. And that's what Hanisa wants to do in this life, inshallah, for her mom to say that she has a daughter who is hafidha, and may Allah make it easy for you, bi'idhnillah, and may, inshallah, Ameen, that intention, may you see it, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. And of course, in Jannah, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, by Allah's mercy, when we enter into Jannah, you will be able to do that for your parents, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala,
Ameen,
your mom,
Ameen,
and your dad, inshallah. Ya Allah. I knew this was going to be emotional, even though we were laughing. Yeah. But if we really think about it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought us together. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this strength and put in us this thirst for knowledge of the Quran, subhanahu. And we alhamdulillah, and I can't say, oh, it's me, Maya. Oh, it's you, Hanisa. No, this is guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by Allah's mercy, by Allah's will. Because so many people, I'm sure, have similar intentions. But when things get hard, when, you know, mainly when things get hard, they don't have time, they don't prioritize, they lose sight of the purpose, the goal. Life can take over and this can be put aside. Okay? And we're talking of years, not of one day, of years of struggles, of challenges, of choosing the Quran. Because there's so many enemies within ourselves. We have the shaitan, the environment, the people, life. It's not easy, but subhanAllah, it's so worth it. I can't imagine my life without the Quran. I truly can't.
Me neither.
I feel, I don't know, it's like a part of me, although I'm not a hafidha. And I am still in the very, very beginning of my journey with the Quran. But now I understand when you say it's not enough. It's not enough, because I feel if I am to go and meet my Lord now, what will I tell him? Are you a hafidha? No. Can you recite with all the tajweed rulings? No. And I'm being vulnerable here because this is the truth. But I'm not going to let this stop me, or anyone else, by the way, who's listening, from learning. Because
I started when I was like in my late 30s, and now I'm in my early 40s. And you know, the sign said that, you know, once you reach 40, like your brain just turns to mashed potatoes. I feel that. I feel it.
And it's so true. And it makes it even harder. Yeah. It makes that
it is.
That
it's
you're
harder.
Even stronger. So I'm not gonna let these mashed potato brains of mine stop me from getting to know the Quran.
I've been looking for du'as by scholars, du'as by those who have memorized the Quran. And there's one tip by Sheikh Ayman Said, who is a scholar of the Tajweed. And he said that he would, every moment of where dua is accepted, where it's mustajab, he would make the dua, Allah make me a hafiz, Allah make me a hafiz, Allah make me a hafiz. Mm. And there were so many instances where he said that he would make this dua. And one of them was in Salat al-Jum'ah, in between the two khutbahs. Mm-hmm. So as a woman who, in my culture, we don't go for Jum'ah prayers, so women stay at home. So I take for granted that it's the Jum'ah, and this is when the du'a is most accepted. I take for granted this period. So ever since I heard Ayman Sway did that, I every time there's Jum'ah prayer, I'll just sit near the radio and wait for the first khutbah to end. And in between that was when the Ayman Sway, let's just say, make that dua, is when the dua was accepted, mm-hmm. before the second khutbah. Mm-hmm. I just sit and make dua. And I'm like, Ya Allah, make my brain make my brain strong. Don't make it into mashed potatoes. I just want to be a help with that. Make it easy. Ya Allah, make it easy for me. So every opportunity, I'll just squeeze it in. So the du'as are just simple. And Ayman Sway said, just make Allah make me a hafiz. Mm. And another Quran scholar mentioned that, Allah make my journey on the Quran be with ease, mm. with tears of happiness, and not be with suffering and tears of hardships. So, and I think that's one of the things that I will also start implementing. Mm. Because like I said, it's not easy, like, subhanAllah, especially as a non-Arabic speaker, to memorize the Quran, it's not easy when you don't know what it means. Because I actually have to sit down and read the translation word by word. You know, the mushaf that you have, the word by word mushaf, that's a mushaf that I use and my son use. Yeah.
The Noble Quran one.
Yeah, one with the word by word translation, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we use that in order to understand what are we actually reciting, what are we actually memorizing, because memorizing without understanding
is very difficult.
It doesn't give the ayat, its life. Mm. You know, it's just another ayat. But when you memorize it with understanding what this ayat means, then it sticks to the brain.
Yes,
better.
SubhanAllah. Yeah. Didn't you at one point even take Arabic classes? But probably stopped, maybe. I don't know, because I don't recall.
I did. Yeah. I did take it. And it was very technical, mm. because it was all the Arabic grammar and everything. And I had to stop because I had to prioritize memorizing the Quran. Yeah, because the Arabic lessons, as a non-Arabic speaker, it takes a lot of time as well, because you actually have to learn the grammar and a lot of things and all the rules. And I just like, you know, let's prioritize one thing at a time.
Totally understandable, because your aim and your goal is this. So if you can do this without learning the Arabic, but I think you will go back. If knowing you, after you finished, inshallah, got your ijazah, you will go back to learning
inshallah,
Arabic.
I intend to. Because I do see that the Arabic, learning the Arabic, especially the grammar, does help with understanding. Yes, the understanding of the Quran. Like the i'rab of the whole ayah makes more sense than just, I would say there's levels to it. Like, for example, now I'm using the Quran word by word. Mm-hmm. I understand it word by word, but not the grammar of it. But when I understand the grammar, I understand why Allah chose certain words this way and certain words that way. And then it makes more sense. And my teacher who checks my memorization, subhanAllah, she's an expert in Arabic, because she took it as her degree or something. So she would just spend so much time just telling me the i'rab of the whole ayat and just say, you know, you connect this to this because of this and this ruling and that ruling. And I'm like,
one day.
One day.
Inshallah.
One day, Ustaza, I will understand what you're talking about. But for now,
I'm focusing here.
Let me just recite the surah to you. SubhanAllah, it makes more sense when you understand the grammar of the Arabic grammar. So, SubhanAllah. I find there's beauty, like the whole Quran has a lot of beauty in it. From the way it is being recited, the tajwid rulings, how everything is connected to the grammar, to the translation, like tafsir, everything is so beautiful. And I wish everyone could see Quran through my eyes and just feel that much love for it. Because once you see it in a way that is a book of guidance, a book of treasures, you'll never go back. You can never go
it's
back.
It's hard and look to at put it aside once you realize. It's hard.
Yes.
It's like you're going against yourself, against your fitrah.
Exactly.
You know, because you've discovered this treasure. How can you not read it, use it, share it? SubhanAllah.
Yes.
Hanisa, yani, we have come, unfortunately, to the end of...
No!
Yes, I know. We could go on for hours, you and I know. But you also have to go and share a meal, proper meal, with your family. Because I'm sure it hasn't been easy, but may Allah reward you. Hanisa, thank you so much for joining. I just want to sum up...
Thank you for inviting me.
How could I not? I just want to sum up today's... I was just making notes. In order to start your journey with the Quran, you can add on, Hanisa, but just to wrap up, start with the intention, okay? Don't be afraid to ask for help. Join halaqas so you can create, sisters, people who are on the same journey as you, so you can lift each other up on this. And never, never, never stop learning and always make dua. And that's what I thought was a beautiful compilation of today's episode. Jazakallah khair. May Allah reward you. May Allah make this easy. And we'll have you next year, inshallah, as a hafidha.
Bi-idhnillahi
ta'ala. Thank you so much, Hanisa.
Ya Rab, ameen.
Thank you so much.
Jazakallah khair. Thank you so much.
Thank you, my listeners, for joining. For joining by listening, because I didn't get any calls, but it's totally fine. I hope you really got some inspiration and was motivated by Hanisa's story. May we all have that same intention towards the Quran, inshallah. I'll see you tomorrow, inshallah, with another guest, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, on Oman FM. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.